Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis, and I'm here with Carla Soans. And today we are talking about tension between sales and marketing teams. But before you hit the skip button or the next button, hear me out. While economic development organizations probably don't have a traditional sales team, we do have attraction teams. We have business attraction teams. So we also have teams that do the marketing and attraction strategies for that side of the house. So Carla, talk us through.
Okay, so here's the thing. Whether you call yourself a salesperson or whether you call yourself a marketer, I feel like there's always just a healthy tension between those that are thinking about the strategy and are planning and executing on a strategy and those that are kind of coming up with the strategy and are more client-facing or customer-facing. So let's, for today, just strip what the names are and just think about, like, in your organization, where those healthy tensions are. And I think it's really common to have them between the people who are going out trying to, like, sell other people on an idea and the people who are putting together the materials that allow that work to happen or the kind of communications. So we're going to talk about it from that lens today because I think it's common, but it's not the only place that, like, kind of these, like, little tensions arise in our workplaces. So I think there's a lot of places we can dive in here, Faye, but I really feel like it's important to talk about how tension can really derail productivity. And I don't know about you, Faye, but I feel like we can all go back in time and think of frustrations that we've maybe had in teams that when we really stripped it down and began to think about, you know, what place another person might be coming from, we were able to find a little bit more of a healthy, productive, and effective way of doing our work together. And a lot of that starts with really self-assessing. And I know people get tired of, you know, thinking about yourself and having to ask yourself the really hard questions. But part of asking yourself those questions is also thinking about stereotypes. Another hard word that people have a lot, like as soon as you say stereotypes, people, you know, a lot of times start, you know, their mind starts racing in a million different directions because it's not a word that brings about, like, positive vibes.
No, I mean, their walls go instantly up. You say stereotype, everyone's like, I don't have any.
I don't have any, or I'm immediately uncomfortable even thinking about what other people could have. But the truth of the fact of the world is that we all have some biases, and it's okay. It's the way that we are shaped, the way that we are formed, the environments that we were raised in. And this goes way beyond even, you know, a lot of times when you think of stereotypes, you're thinking about race and sexual orientation and all those things. But if you think about it in the lens of your workplace, you have all of that. And you have just the different lens in which you are applying your skills, your talents to the same mission as someone else. So I'm sitting here with Faye and I look at Faye and think, like, she is action oriented. Like, she, you know, there's so many great things I could say about Faye, but you put Faye in a room with somebody else who may look at things a little bit differently and you could have a healthy tension there. Because the way Faye looks at the world and the work and the mission and her role in that is inherently different than somebody else on our team who may be looking at their role and their work and applying their skills and their talents very differently. So it's really common. And so when you think about it in terms of sales or attraction teams and marketing teams, here, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say what some of the stereotypes.
Lay it on us, Carla. They're out there, right? So what's the stereotype for say the marketing team?
Okay. So a lot of times people think the marketing team makes things look really good on paper, but it doesn't always work in the real world. That sometimes they're, like, making plans in a vacuum. That's, like, the stereotype that they're, you know, researching things and putting things and making them look pretty and sound pretty, but they maybe don't actually like drive the message forward in the real world. That's a stereotype. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's always true, but that sometimes is the stereotype.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side.
Yes. The sales team.
Yeah. The sales team, right? Okay. So you have the sales, the attraction team, and man, sometimes the stereotype is that they don't really take time to understand what the marketing team was thinking about the strategy that was curated in order for them to be successful in whatever work that they're doing. So here's where the healthy tension comes in, right? You have this, you have one team thinking that they're both essentially working on the same thing, but one team thinking like you're doing it in a vacuum potentially. And another team thinking, you know, you're not applying what we've learned and like what we spent, you know, months, years coming up with this plan with these tools in order for you to do your job better. And you're not taking the time to understand that strategy. So here's what happens. We have these stereotypes. We have this tension. If you have too much tension, you have a lot of dysfunction, and you have two teams that are frustrated constantly and have that friction in their work, where even when they are very aligned, other people who don't sit on either of these teams are thinking like, gosh, they find any reason to be annoyed with each other, even when they're both saying the same thing, just using different words. And so if you're a bystander in all of this, sometimes it's interesting to watch because you're really talking about the same thing. You're just using different words, but those words can be triggers. So when you have too much of this tension, you have dysfunction. No doubt about it. We've all been there. It just happens. What happens when you have the dysfunction?
Productivity tanks.
It tanks. Effectiveness tanks. Your team dynamics start to tank. Your culture starts to tank. Everything about you being able to fulfill your mission starts to tank. It's just not a good place to be. So it's really, really important to identify where these tensions are in our organizations, and especially as economic development organizations. We have these healthy tensions. And listen, folks, we have enough trouble outside of the walls of our own offices that we can't afford to be fighting inside our own offices against tensions that we could work through. We have a lot of work to do outside for other people to understand what economic development is, why it is important, how our work matters, how it impacts things that are going on in the world today that we all care about. We can't spend time when we're trying to fight that fight outside of our walls. We can't, you know, spend time arguing inside over, you know, tension points that we could resolve. So I think the question here today is, you know, how do you do that?
Yeah. So what does that healthy tension look like, and how do organizations get there with their teams?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when you healthy tension exists, and it's, I believe that healthy tension, if you can get to the place where you would say like, yeah, there's some healthy tension, that's good. It's good. It's not good to have unhealthy, you know, unproductive tension. But when you get to a place where there's some healthy tension there, you can make ideas better. But it really starts with dialogue. It really starts with teams sitting down and agreeing on what the goal is and what their roles are in getting to the goal, and understanding how each team member really fits in, you know, fits in with getting us there. So, you know, you think about the attraction manager or the person who's outselling your community. Sometimes it's even the person who's out, you know, trying to fundraise for and get sponsorships for events, and their approach and how they have to sell that concept to others. They have real feedback of what works, what those conversations look like. And without being able to share that to a marketing team, they feel completely powerless to help create really good messaging. And in turn, when the marketing team feels like they keep creating something and it's rejected, or we're then being asked to do something over and over and over again without following a strategy through, that also is frustrating. So the teams are interdependent. And I think it starts with just acknowledging that we have to talk. Mm-hmm. We have to talk. We have to kind of hear each other out and listen to understand. and not to respond.
Yes.
Ask more questions. Ask why. Ask what would be helpful. Understand that your role is to help the entire mission move forward. And there's no winner or loser without each other. So the sales team doesn't win without a marketing team. The marketing team doesn't win without a sales team. Just doesn't happen. They're interdependent.
They are completely interdependent. And when you have that healthy tension between those teams, like you said, you're going to get that more productive urgency because you have the marketing team driving the sales team and the sales team driving the marketing team, which then encourages more performance and it sparks creativity because it helps keep each other honest.
Absolutely. And those sparks of creativity are what ignites a team and excites a team. When you're just kind of working on the same thing and you don't feel like it's new or fresh or that people are excited about it, whether you're on the front lines trying to sell it with other people outside of your organization or inside, if you're working on something that the rest of the people don't feel like excited about, you're not as excited about doing it. And, you know, sales and marketing people, when you look at the skills and the talents of both groups of people, they thrive in environments where creativity is unleashed. Mm-hmm. And where new ideas can be explored and where learning can take place and be shared. And so that has to happen through conversation, and it has to happen through listening. Like I said, to listen, to understand, and not just to respond. And that means sometimes you leave a conversation and you come back and then you continue the conversation later after you've had time to process. And I think for teams that I've watched and I've been a part of, it's not just understanding what the work is, but how the work gets done and what some of the challenges are in each role. Because when you think about it from a perspective of a person that's sitting in a marketing team, they often are working under deadline. There's deadlines for things, and there's only so much time, and there's a lot of focus, dedicated time that needs to go into creation of any type of document or messaging. And they need time to do that. And so last minute changes aren't last minute. They take minutes, hours, days sometimes. And so really understanding each other's timelines and what kind of like the no-gos and okay, you know, situations are, so that you can make pivots. And I think as long as you are coming at it with the mutual goal in mind, knowing that you're all trying to move a mission forward and that together you can be more powerful, that's when the real change can take place. But if you come in thinking like, oh, you know, I never get it right for them, or, you know, they give me these tools, but they're not listening to me. If that's how you feel, you have to start at the place with where that can get aired out. And that's uncomfortable, but it's so necessary, so necessary. And, you know, you have to know what those roles are, what each of you do, what you need, what annoys you about each other. You have to start there and you have to work together. And that means setting joint tasks, like saying like, here's what I need from you by this date so that we can get to X, Y, and Z outcome together. And then trying to hold each other accountable. And just recognizing those differences. There's inherent differences between priorities on both teams. Like they wake up each day with a different, they have the same mission, but different goal in mind of how to get there. And so what distracts them off of a project? What different outside influences may cause them to have to reprioritize a project? That's really important to talk about. Because if you're an attraction person and a big, big prospect comes, everything has to stop sometimes. Everything.
Yeah. And, well, if and you're it's all about that communication person. Between the teams to understand, because those are sometimes, I don't want to call them ghost rules, but they're not in the handbook for the organization. These are things that you only know if you work closely together, but you have to set those guardrails.
Absolutely. You have to set the guardrails and you have to know what will cause something to go astray. Like you have to be vulnerable, able to be vulnerable enough. And I think, you know, when you think about that and so much of, you know, work in teams really comes down to, you know, how much you trust each other. And that's, you know, that's the hard thing. Like, we all want to trust everyone in our team and have that ability to be vulnerable and say what we need and where we're at and why we missed a deadline potentially, and to help make everyone successful. But it's not as easy as just wanting it. You have to do it. And being vulnerable is really hard. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like, you know, it's in this day and age, it's becoming harder and harder to just like let it all hang out in terms of like really being vulnerable and putting it out there. Like, I'm going to miss this deadline because of X, Y, and Z thing, because you just don't know how people are going to respond.
Yeah.
But we have to be courageous in our teams. It's kind of the similar, you know, when you think about what people say makes healthy marriages work, it transpires all relationships, and trust is at that foundation. And I think Simon Sinek had a good quote about it. And when he was talking about teams, and he essentially, and I won't get the quote exactly right, but he essentially was like, listen, teams are groups of people that work together. And that's fundamental. That's what a team is. But a team is a group of people who trust each other. And so it's not about the work, it's about the trust. And when you're working on a mission like an economic development organization is, it's an important mission to fulfill. And we can't afford to sit in teams that are just working. We have to be working alongside teams that trust each other, because the work is interdependent. It's hard enough to do outside of our own walls. Mm-hmm. We have to start working together as organizations so that we can be more effective. We can get more impactful on this really important mission, and we can do it more efficiently with the resources that we have, because there's only so many resources in each community to put towards this work. And we can't afford to keep getting it wrong because we're not working together in economic development. So I think the healthy tension is there. The stereotypes are there. It's icky, sticky to talk about, but
it's a difficult topic to talk about, but it's so important. And Carla, I can't imagine ending on a more impactful note than what you just said. So for those of us, or for those of you who are still listening along, we will be back next Thursday with another episode where we dive into the phases of a team. So we'll be talking about team dynamics a little bit more. Carla, do you have anything else to add in closing?
No, just that I think teams are one of the most powerful things that we have as humans, you know, working in concert with other humans. When you think about a symphony, it's a bunch of instruments working at the same time. And that's the work of economic development. And so we have to figure out who goes when and who's playing, and how to orchestrate that as leaders. And so I hope you all tune in and continue on the journey with us as we really dive into what makes teams click and how do they really work and what are some of the theories to make teams better, because we have a lot of work to do as economic developers. And listen, teams are the way to go. We got a symphony to orchestrate. So I'm so excited to keep talking to you, Faye, about just how to build better teams.
Let's do it. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.